is time again for Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theatre, the literary and all else. Hey, we'll try anything at least once. Underwritten by Durham's historic Carolina Theatre. I haven't got a cue where we're going today, but I can't wait to get there. Together. So kick back, relax, tune us in, and I promise we'll keep you turned on. Good morning, I am Claudio.
Good morning, Claudio. 103.5 FM, WCOM. Fun, fresh, live, and local. The way radio used to be. We're community radio serving Carrboro and Chapel Hill and our listeners online at WCOMFM.org. Good morning, Audrey.
Good to be here. Sitting good, here on the sidelines this morning.
Folks are probably wondering what's going on out there. Can yes. you turn my mine up just a touch more? There we go. I'm having a hard time hearing myself in my headpiece. There we go. Let's fly this water paddle. Anyway, what's going on here, in case you folks are wondering why Audrey is sitting co-pilot, Audrey is actually going to be taking some time off to work on her house and home, the new one to be, and I'm just sort of trying to give her some relief, and Rocco is stepping in as my new co-host, although that doesn't exclude Audrey from popping in whenever she wants, so God knows what she's going to bring to the table now that she
you
can fly freely. That's right. No intent. So I have the great privilege of one of the masters of WCOM. God knows, how long has your radio show been going?
Claudio, I first went on about 7 years ago, 7 years, 2 or 3 months ago, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we started in 2004, and Bob Burtman was the first show that came on in November, and
right.
I think Fred Wasser came on right after him, and you started
in January
of 2005. So you've just finished 7 years.
Yeah, Bob and Fred came on, as you said, in November, mm-hmm. I believe. Before that, we had a tape that ran. Bob
24
made,
hour. Well, and, I think it was actually Chris that one is the one that put it on. Chris Frank, who was one time station
and
manager.
You actually came on my show early on when I first started. You and I connected and did a few shows together.
We did, Claudio, and had a lot of fun.
Absolutely,
and, you had such great guests, and you have such a good show.
Thanks. Well, I'm happy to have you on. I can't believe this came about. He walked in one day and said, well, hey, how about putting a word out that I'm looking for another co-host. And he comes in one day and I said, my God, how can you possibly add this to your plate? And somehow he has. So thanks for being here.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And we want to sort of set the mood a little bit this morning. We've got a CD we're playing, a collection of Dan Fogelberg. And it's just one song I want to play, and I'm going to let you flavor the rest of the music in your own way. I just wanted to sort of set a certain mood by playing Leader of the Band by Dan Fogelberg. This is Dan Fogelberg, Leader of the Band, a tribute to his father.
Child alone and wild, a cabinet maker's son. His hands were meant for different work, and his heart was known to none. He left his home and went his loom in solitary way, and he gave to me a gift I know I never gave. Quiet man of music, denied a simple fate. He tried to be a soldier once, but his music couldn't wait. He earned his love through discipline, a thundering velvet hand. His gentle means of sculpting souls took me years to understand. Leader of the band is tired, and his eyes are growing old. But his blood runs through my instrument, and his song is in my soul. My life has been a poor attempt to imitate the man. Oh, I'm just a living legacy to the leader of the band. My brother's lives were different, for they heard another call. One went to Chicago and the other to St. Paul. And I'm in Colorado when I'm not in some hotel, living out this life I've chose and come to know so well. Thank you for the music and your stories of the road. Thank you for the freedom when it came my time to go. I thank you for your kindness and the times when you got tough. And Papa, I don't think I said I love you near enough. His eyes are growing old, but his blood runs through my instrument, and the song is in my soul. My life has been a poor attempt to imitate the man. Oh, I'm just a living legacy to the leader of the band. I am a living legacy to the leader of the
Your time is important. That's why we thank you for taking us along. We're WCOM Community Radio. Audrey and Claudio, what do you think of Dan Fogelberg?
I love the guy. I was a follower of pretty much anything he put out. It's a pity he died so young. I thought he was an amazing lyricist, and he played all the instruments that you hear. I mean, the guy composed for everything that's on his albums. He may have had other musicians performing them eventually, but a lot of the studio work, it's him on every instrument.
Yeah, we did a show in the past where we played quite a bit of Fogelberg, yeah, and yeah, it was the first time I had heard of him.
Which surprises me with a lot of people. And right. I guess there's
and he's
just
terrific.
There's it's limited exposure, even though he's quite famous.
Yes.
Well, which is quite surprising.
Since hanging around here with these people who know music, it's been a humongous education for me. And great.
It's fun. It's fun working with them on stage, too, at the Carolina Theater, which I should actually acknowledge, the Historic Carolina Theater. Catch whatever's coming up there. They've got all kinds of new stuff coming up for February. And it's carolinatheater.org if you want to look it up. And, of course, they sponsor or underwrite Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater here on WCOM 103.5 FM.
On the airwaves.
Well, Claudio, how long have you been associated with the Carolina Theater?
Oh, since before they opened the doors back in 1993, a friend of mine, one of my best friends, Paul Gabriel, was the first technical director, and he was also the leader of the theater union, theater union. And so I was quite amiss to actually ask him. I was working at Glaxo in the audiovisual department, and I was getting really bored, and I found out that he took this new position, and I said, you guys need anybody? Anybody to help you over there? And I he said, well, you're not in the union, so you're asking the wrong guy. And I said, well, let me know if something opens up where a right to worker can get in. This is a right to work state. And about 2-3 days later, he called me back. He says, Claudio, He says, are you willing to do whatever it takes in this theater? In other words, one day you'll be working cement, the next day you'll be working with a carpenter, the next day you'll be assisting a welder, whatever it takes. Are you willing to take that kind of position? Because that's something I can't get the union to do. And I said, as a matter of fact, I am.
Yay,
so I had hands-on putting that theater together. And I was the first stage technician ever hired. And then I ended up performing on that stage with the North Carolina Symphony, doing Histoire du Soldat by Stravinsky, did five voices. And stage managed many a show.
Mm-hmm.
Worked as interpreter for the Carolina Theater with international dignitaries coming through and so on. I speak five languages, so that was a big help in that regard. I don't even think that the management there knows about my languages. But I sort of
French, German, and Italian, and
English, German, French, Afrikaans, and a little bit of Italian.
Okay.
My mother was Italian, but sadly, it was considered a second-class language by the Germans that raised me, and I never really learned it. I love the flow and the sound of the language, and I understand a lot more than I can speak. It's almost like I have to listen to a lot of words and then try to use them to speak back.
Right.
Well, Audrey, can you remember the first time you met Claudio?
You know, I think the first time I saw Claudio was when we were over in the old station, and you were there with Ernie Hood, who does the Radio and Bebo on Wednesdays.
Yes.
And I had just come in. I was walking across the parking lot, and Ernie called over and said, "Hey, Audrey, you know, I want you to meet Claudio."
Ernie wanted us to meet. Yeah, he told me about you long before I met you. Yeah.
So it's, and then every once in a while, you know, we cross paths at the.
Yeah.
And
Ernie wanted me to be on your show.
Right.
Because I'd written several books and so on, and that was what he was pushing. I had no idea that one day I'd walk up to you and ask you to be my co-host for a while I found one.
Right, and that last. How long was I?
It's been 2 years or more.
At least two and a half years.
So thanks for the favor.
Well, it's been fun. I mean, it was just.
Well, I remember the first time I heard Claudio, and I was riding in the car, driving past the old studio, and. I tuned to WCOM, and I hear this new voice on the air, and he sounded so good. And he had the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Curtis Ingram was on the show. He owns the music museum. He owns the Rock and Roll Music Museum in
Curtis on.
I forget the name of the town now.
The two of you sounded so good, and I'm saying, who is the guest of the show, and who is this fellow who's doing the show?
Curtis had a bass tone that bounced off the walls in there.
Yeah, and I had to stop in, and I
I remember that.
And I came in, and I was congratulating you and praising you, saying how good you sound on the air, and the show is just seems to be terrific, and it went from there.
And not before long, I actually had you on. So we did a few shows together.
We did a couple shows together and had a lot of fun. And
absolutely.
And it
even dug up old Phil Harris.
That's right.
What was the name of that album? That song? The Thing, yeah.
The Thing. You remember that, don't you, Audrey?
Well, I was saying a little earlier, what I remember from Phil Harris is the cigarette song.
I remember that one.
Smoke, smoke,
yeah.
That cigarette.
Yeah, that was an old country song.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember the name of the artist, but I have it somewhere.
Well, I've heard Phil Harris do that like 100 years ago.
And, of course, what a lot of people don't realize, Phil was the voice of Mowgli the Bear in The Jungle Book.
That's right.
He was the bear. He was singing the bear necessities. That was all Phil singing.
Great voice, very theatrical, movie star, radio personality.
And of course, you met him when you were chefing on the yacht that he and Alice Faye were sailing on.
And he did a drunk recording for me of Mac the Knife, yes.
Yes, and I have a copy of that at home, as a matter of fact.
I gave a few friends a copy of that, and I had no idea you were going to play that show in my absence.
Yes. Well, actually, that was a slip-up because I wanted to get the next track.
That's okay, yeah.
Which,
I'm sure people were wondering, what on earth is this?
It was just...
Because here I was dancing with Alice Faye on the aft deck of the La Costa Brava yacht. It was a 64-foot yacht, kind of relatively small for most. But we were in the Virgin Islands. This island was called Peter Island, I think, off the coast. And I had played Mac the Knife. So Mac the Knife was playing, and I wanted to have some souvenir of Phil because I knew they were leaving in a few days. So I handed him this hand recorder and said, "Do me a favor, sing something or say something onto this so that I can have a live copy of you, not something that everybody can have, but something only I can have." And so he starts singing along with Louis Armstrong, and because he's Two Sheets to the Wind, he still isn't spouting out the right lyrics.
Right, right.
Louis singing one thing, he's singing another. But it was.
But I went from there, and the track that I wanted to play while you were gone, and I did, you know, find it quickly and put it on, was when you were talking with your friend that you met.
Gary Jensen, yeah.
Gary Jensen.
The late Gary Jensen.
And he and Claudio were just shooting the breeze about their old times in the islands and meeting here.
Yeah, meeting here on the road.
On the road, and
it was a former Hell's Angel.
It was a great telling tales about Claudio when he wasn't here.
Boy. As a matter of fact, that's the reason I chose not to put it into the archives, because I don't want everybody in the world hearing that one.
He remembered, but it had been broadcast, so I figured it was safe.
He remembered my life like somebody digging up a scandal. So
anyway, so one of the things from your past that we're hoping to get to in sometime in the next couple of weeks or more is King Obstinate.
King Obstinate, yeah. We've been looking him up. I was actually his... Mm-hmm. co-host on Radio 1 in St. Thomas. Let me just explain who King Obstinate is. He was I was performing after hours. I was chef at Bluebeard's Castle, and after hours I would just sort of go let my hair down and join the pianist up in the bar, which seated about 100 people, because he would play piano and, you know, mm-hmm. do humor there. So I joined him for a little storytelling that he backed me up on piano. Nat Blake was his name. He was pretty famous in the Virgin Islands. And one night we had the place packed. People were starting to catch on to the fact that there was a storyteller that was interesting, and they packed the house that mm-hmm. night. So I did a like 40-minute show,
mm-hmm.
and I just finished doing a piece called Midnight Walker, which was my hit in St. Thomas, about the old man that gets murdered. But in mid-sway of completing and taking a bow, this guy stands up, big black guy stands up in the middle of the room and goes, "Claudio, I want you on the radio." I said, "Well, thank you, and who might you be, sir?" And the whole place cracked up like I just asked Elvis Presley who he was. And Nat Blake is looking at me going, "Claudio, shut up." And I had no idea. So I leaned over to Nat. I said, "Nat, I'm sorry, but who is this guy?" And he goes, "He's only the blooming king of Calypso in the entire Caribbean. Uh-huh. He's the most famous Calypsonian in the Caribbean. And he's just asked you to come on his radio show. And probably wants you as his co-host." And he guessed that one right. And so I went on his Calypso radio show, and uh-huh. they nicknamed me the African poet, because uh-huh. I'd lived in South Africa, and even though I was German-Italian.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow I inherited the African poet and got quite famous for it on St. Thomas. Uh-huh. I mean, taxi cabs would pull over and offer me free rides. I had to turn down drinks when I walked into bars, or I'd have become a drunk without paying for it. And he wrote an album. He recorded an album some years ago in Antigua that contains some of my lyrics that, mm-hmm. that we collaborated on, but we lost touch with him, and he's one of those famous people. It's like trying to get in touch with Elvis Presley, and unless you have some way of getting in there or actually seeing him physically somewhere, I think he's shielded from anybody getting to him.
I did some, as I had already mentioned to you, did some research online trying to find him, and came across a newspaper article from one of the newspapers down in St. Kitts or
mm-hmm.
somewhere.
I think it was, yeah. Maybe
that,
Antigua.
Talked about his attendance at an affair, some sort of political affair, I think it was.
And I think you said he was living in the Prime Minister's house or something like that?
I think he was just attending there.
Attending something there, yeah.
So
yeah, he's a big wheel,
that,
even in politics.
You know, perhaps we could just contact that newspaper and see if there's some way of getting word to him.
Upstee, hey, how can we find you?
Claudio's looking for you.
Yes, I used to call him Upstee. Uh-huh. King Upstee, if you're out there listening... Anywhere in the world, on a short wave, on a boat. Claudio, the African poet, is looking for you.
Yes, and what's your website? How can reach you?
Go to claudioarts.com. That's claudioarts.com. That's my website, and it'll give you all the information to connect with me. So if anybody out there knows King Obstinate, and I know we're picked up all over the world here, so somebody tap that guy on the shoulder and tell him the African poet is looking for him.
Right. And then we'll get him on the show.
That's right. I'd love to have him, even if it's only a call-in.
Right.
It was interesting because after being on radio with him for a while, I took a good look at him one day. We were hanging out for lunch, and I remembered seeing him years before on the Mike Douglas show.
Really?
He had this uncanny gift of being able to walk into a room in front of an audience of hundreds, picking somebody out of the audience and making up this rhyming story about their life.
Uh-huh.
And it was intelligent poetry. It wasn't bad poetry like you would imagine. It was like really good, sophisticated mm-hmm. words, well chosen. And mm-hmm. he basically makes up this song and starts dancing to it. And the guy was amazing. I remember being really impressed with that. And here, years later, boom, I'm hanging out with the guy.
We're going to have to get some of his music, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I noticed his music was downloadable, but nothing for everything cost 99 cents or more. So I think what I'm going to do is just go buy an album or two. So.
Yeah.
You know, isn't it amazing how much things have changed in the music world from, you know, 45, 78s, 45s, 33 and a thirds, and now we move to the CDs, compact discs, and
now we can put 1,000 pieces of music on this little
thumb drive or flash drive or chip. Yeah.
How you do
it's
that?
Incredible what's happened, and you can't keep up with it.
No, that's the thing. You can't keep up anymore.
I know.
Well, I have this little thing that I've bought that is, it's about the size of a large postage stamp, maybe like a 60-cent stamp or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it will hold like 4 gigabytes of music on it. I swear, it's this little thing, and you can just clip it on your pocket to connect your earphones to it, and there you're set.
Well, Audrey,
hours and hours of music.
You have seen me come in to do the Saturday morning music show with probably 300 CDs on this table, and
I've seen it.
And there's just, you know, files of them, and I'm going through this and that, and you probably have more on that little chip than I can fill up in that suitcase bag of CDs. And I'm really a dinosaur in the business.
Well, watching you is just watching an artist at work, because
oh, yeah,
you know the music so incredibly well and so deeply, and you have this organized where you just, oh, I know what'll go with that, and you just go through and you find it, and in it goes. And it just, the music is just,
mm-hmm,
Saturday Morning Music Hall is the only way you can tell what day of the week it is.
Well, you know,
I could see that.
I've learned that you have to match the music with what you were playing. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the show will not be as, mm-hmm, good. It's as simple as that. You just can't make a list and play this, that, and this.
Mm-hmm. No, it's never that easy.
It really isn't. And if you play something, you have to follow it up with something that is suitable to follow it with, mm-hmm, to make the show better. I mean, you can follow it with anything, but to make it more enjoyable for the listener, if you pick the right thing to follow up the previous songs, it'll be a better show.
You lead the listener along,
yeah,
mm-hmm, so you don't go right away from Elvis Presley to Barbara Streisand or something, because there's no
yeah,
easy flow into it.
And I've noticed sometimes if you play something that is so strong, it's so good by that artist, you can't follow it up with another artist. You might have to go to an instrumental. And Audrey, you've heard me say that a number of times. Mm-hmm. You know, this is so good. I can't just play someone else singing after this.
Give some time for the inspiration to last or to find some place to go.
And go into an instrumental.
That's what we need to do here when Claudio has presented some of his work. It's like, how do you follow it?
That's right.
Thank you.
We go to an instrumental.
Well, that's what, exactly.
Yeah, where you can still drift in thought.
Uh-huh, that when you finish a piece or something that you've written and done, is to go into a piece of music to give everybody a chance to absorb,
mm-hmm,
before you switch on to something else.
I agree. And on that note, we're actually going to play a recording coming up. But I want to impose on everybody here, and I want to try that slate again. I know that we were adjusting volumes in the very beginning, so anyone listening, please indulge me here. But I want to be able to cut this out onto a pre-recorded CD so that we can have a signature sound when we come on in the morning. And if you would just cut off the other microphones and leave just mine on, I'm just going to try this one more time. This is for slating purposes. It is time again for Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, the literary and all else. Hey, we'll try anything at least once. Underwritten by Durham's historic Carolina Theater. I haven't got a cue where we're going today, but I can't wait to get there, together. So kick back, relax, tune us in, and I promise we'll keep you turned on. Good morning! I am Claudio.
Now, the only thing we can do now with that is follow it up with some music.
That's the idea. So let's give them some of the African poets' recitals. This is the kind of stuff I was doing in the Caribbean, just short pieces on the King Obstinate Calypso show.
The infant is crying like a song that is dying. Oh, Africa waits for the light. Far beyond tears and laughter lies a newborn hereafter. But there are rocks in the cradle tonight. Life. Life is the canvas for a picture that paints itself, to grow in a vintage of beauty, and in death, stand still in its reflection of the time and era in which it was the artist. Skeletal repose. The swaying, rhythmic, restless stride of winter branches thin and wide. So skeletal in their repose as windward motions they expose. Like arms that reach beyond man's prayers where distant realms greet distant stares. And yet beyond allure defined they reach within the soul, the mind. To all that speaks of God to me when I gaze long upon a tree. The Passage. A dream well lived lives on to inspire like a torch that burns incessantly. And the joy of the dreamer lies in the passage of the dream. The Blood of the Writer. As the silent seconds dance in their eternity about me and set aflame again the fire to inspire my nimble fingers to procure the pen and awaken it in a resurrection, transforming the ink to the blood of the writer. As once again he bleeds his acquired wisdom like a light into the world.
In Chapel Hill in Carrboro, the home of good music and so much more, is WCOM Community Radio.
And this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. That was just a little collection of recitals on a CD, but it goes back to my time in the Caribbean, and the sort of short pieces, as well as many much lengthier pieces, and then just storytelling that wasn't verse. So
well done.
Storytelling in all formats. Thank you so much.
Audrey, don't you think it was very well done?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nice, smooth transitions there, too.
Claudio is a master at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt. Mm-hmm. You are.
Thank you, sir.
You've got a great talent.
So what's now? A little bit of music?
I think you were going to announce a PSA, weren't you?
Yeah, we have some PSAs that are always important, but first I'd like to read this to all of our listeners. WCOM needs your help. Keep your community radio station strong by donating what you can. Just go to our online website, WCOMFM.org, for more information, or send a check made out to WCOM to our studio here at 208 East Main Street, Carrboro, North Carolina, 27510. Remember, WCOM is the most innovative radio station in our area and your voice in our community. Thank you for your support.
I started going cold turkey. Well, at least when I'm in the car.
I know I shouldn't do it, but it's so hard to stop. That's why I hide it from myself, so I won't be tempted.
I used to do it all the time. I stopped by locking it in my glove compartment.
My friend used to do it way too much. Now I turn it off when we're in the car.
My solution is simple. I just don't do it.
There are lots of ways to stop yourself and others from texting and driving. How will you stop? Tell us at stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And that's Rocco kicking it into gear for us here. Radio as radio should be.
Radio the way radio used to be.
That's for sure. And there's still room for the way it used to be. Some of the technique and some of the elemental aspects of framing the work more really still holds a place, I think.
Well, absolutely. It's the core of what radio is today. Without that, we wouldn't have anything to build on.
I believe it. And you couldn't do radio theater without it. So.
And that's, part of WCOM. We are still a new station in comparison to others that are around. So we're growing, we're learning, and we're getting better and better every day.
You'd be amazed how popular the station actually mm-hmm. is. It's got an underground following. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not very aware of anything else in nearby that has that kind of a following. I mean, the underground following goes from here to Europe India, Germany.
What's interesting is when you can check on our webpage, that there are people clicking on our webpage from something like 28 countries around the world. I mean, from mm-hmm. Dubai, from Japan,
it's
from
amazing.
Argentina.
People that have no desire to hear commercial radio or the corporate speak.
Well, they just like that we're giving something special.
I believe we have a call coming in.
Okay.
We can try and answer it. It may not be for us at all. We'll see. I haven't done too many phone calls on you, unless it's planned. Hello?
WCOM.
I believe
we lost.
Yes. Was it something we said?
Well, I think we were a little slow on picking up.
Sorry about that. We were a little stuck on conversation here.
Right.
Well, how about a music break?
Sounds good to
I
me.
I think you said you had some soft jazz or something you wanted to play.
I have a lot of music that I always bring to the station. I know you're both very
familiar. Tell them about your show, for one thing.
Well, my show comes on Saturday mornings from 9 until 12, and I just try to play the best mix of popular music. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say that's basically it, Audrey?
Absolutely. The classics of the classic popular music of the last 60 years, I'd say.
And the name of the show and the time?
Saturday Morning Music Hall. It goes on from 9 to 12, and it's followed up by Fred Wasser and Breathing Room, which is another great show that's an hour that's got some of the great classic
jazz and the standards,
and the
I think.
Standards, okay. Right.
You guys are all piled into one corner.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Well, it's the great way to start your weekend.
That's true.
I know both of you are very familiar with the Tijuana Brass.
Oh, Herb
Albert's
yeah.
Tijuana Brass. They were so popular in the 60s, and I have an instrumental by them.
Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom White. That's what I remember.
You remember that?
Yes.
That was the 50s.
Yes.
Now, the name of this selection that I chose for this morning is called Cherry Street, mm-hmm. Up Cherry Street. The Tijuana Brass usually didn't play this, but it is so good, mm-hmm. and they do a terrific job on this. I had a chance to meet them, and I was working the show, something in the manner that you would be doing, I guess, Claudio, at the Carolina Theater sometimes when you're stage managing. And I was setting up the microphones, doing the lights for the show, and I got a chance to meet them in the eastern part of the state, and it was about 1964.
Wonderful.
And they just had a terrific show, and Herb Alpert was a young guy, and the band, there were probably 10 musicians, and this individual instrumental that I picked is just done so well, and you usually don't hear it. It wasn't one of their top 10 hits.
Sometimes I like other stuff a lot better anyway.
Well, let's see how you guys will like this. Here's Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass.
Thank you.
Chapel Hill and Carrboro knows excellent programming. WCOM 103.5. WCOM is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for making us a part of your day. Now here's Claudio and Audrey.
You go, boy.
Oh,
sounded good.
Bouncing around.
That energy level. That energy level fit.
Terrific.
That energy level fit the room. The energy we've been sort of cultivating here all morning, I think, just hit high gear.
Oh, mm-hmm. That Tijuana Brass, they could do it.
I love that sound. Always have.
Terrific.
Always have. But I think I'll offer another little poem to the occasion. We've got Valentine's Day coming up, so I'm going to precede it a little bit by throwing this romantic notion into the mix. It's a piece I wrote some years ago called What the Matter Is. It's actually written at the ending of a relationship and making the best of it. This is how I was summing it up. All's well that ends well, but where's that initial spark? Have we lingered here so long that we're fumbling in the dark? We're both from different planets encircling yonder skies. One can tell it by my manner, and I can see it in your eyes. The quote that only fools rush in where wise men fear to tread must be meant for those poor imbeciles who'll be our next in bed. We'll strap them with our yearnings and pummel them with woes, and then ask God in heaven where the hell that feeling goes. I truly wonder sometimes what the high and mighty thinks. Did he in his craft of 7 days plan on needing as many drinks? I'll tell you what the matter is. We've stopped learning how to play, and we take ourselves too seriously to make it through the day. I would suggest we become like children in life's fascinating yarn. Do belly flops, listen to the pops, and go tumbling off a barn. For through those delighted eyes we'll see, as we whistle through the dark, that winding path down a memory lane that contains our initial spark.
Nice. Very nice.
Something to the moment there. And the background that you heard was played by Rocco. Heard all that shuffling.
Well, we've got, next week, actually, is Valentine's Day.
How soon
Day,
is
right?
it coming up?
Yeah, it's next Tuesday, I think. Today is the 7th, isn't it?
Yes.
All right, so the 14th.
The 14th.
Is Valentine's Day. So
at least I got a punch in before we get
you'll
there.
You'll have to come in with something next week that's really, truly romantic.
We can all bring
lovely.
Our romantic cups.
Yes.
And if I'm really doing it, I won't show up at all. There we go.
Excuse me. Excuse me, sir.
Right.
Well, Claudio, how did you get into this poetry realm and public speaking?
The poetry thing was very unintended. I was writing short stories ever since I can remember, ever since my childhood. I was making them up in boarding school in South Africa. We didn't have television, didn't know what television was until I came to America in 69. And so just sort of cultivating the imagination, writing down short stories. I can't say that I developed a particular style, but I was a pretty good wordsmith. And years later, when I was apprenticing at the Munich Hilton for a time, an American whom I admired very much, Michael Giblin, who was a writer and just this off-the-wall poet, but really, his poetry is on a very intellectual level. And more of that level was something I was striving for, although I didn't want to overdo it quite like he had. But he was a genius in many ways. Dishwasher. Working in the hotel that I was training as chef in.
Unfortunately, that's what happens with so many of our poets. Yes. It's so hard to earn a living as a poet.
But we hit it off, connected really well, and he read all my short stories and one day told me, since you asked the question, I'm answering it the long-winded way, I'm afraid, but he said, your stories have a very poetic quality. Have you ever tried poetry? And I said, no, I wouldn't dare. It's never been a medium I've considered. And I said, I'd really... From what I've seen in poetry, it's just sort of people expressing themselves about their discontent or wringing out their laundry in social ways that I really don't care to do. So I don't think that's a medium for me at all. And he looked at me and says, well, what about using it as a medium for storytelling, like Edgar Allan Poe did with a raven? And he set some amazing examples. And he said, what's it going to take to loosen you up to try it? I said, I'm just let me put it in my mind for a while. We'll see what happens. And
right.
Later on that day, he comes up and he goes, hey, listen, let's go to the Leuvenbroich pub. I want to buy you a couple of rounds. And we're sitting there.
Get you drunk and poetic.
Right. And we're sitting there, and I flipped over two beer lids, and I wrote this poem about I just started trying to do what he suggested. And I wrote this piece called The Perished Land about Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just really working at it and finally had it down. About an hour later, I handed it to him. And I can honestly tell you that his response, I knew that I was going to take his response so much to heart that if he had looked at me and said this was absolute rubbish, I would never have tried poetry again.
Right.
It was, I was in sort of a fragile state in that. And he looks at it, and he looks at me, and he reads the thing again, and he goes, "Damn you! How can you never have written poetry before?" And now,
and
right,
and
his language was much more colorful. I'm giving the Reader's Digest version here, but and he goes, and you've just written a masterpiece.
Do you have a copy of that?
I have a copy of it somewhere, but I don't think I have it with me. I can try to remember it.
Okay.
But forgive me if I can't. This was written when I was 18.
You won't say how many years ago that was.
No, I won't.
Go ahead.
The perished land, walking shadows in the twilight of night, commitments of ancient customs vaguely in sight, once entirely filled with savage life, now... once entirely filled with savage life, a time when the intruder perished by the knife. Now the knife remains everlasting in the sheath. The natives once dwelt and rejoiced upon this land. The intruder now has invaded and made of it a hand of sand. In the darkness of night, all visitors keep shut their doors. 'Tis believed spirits bathe in the perilous moors. All believers have their reason. At night they are made to pay the price of treason. The spirits rejoice in the twilight of night, commitments of ancient customs vaguely in sight.
Wow.
First poem I ever wrote.
Wow, and have you got a memory? That is exquisite.
I don't even know how I managed to pull that back.
Claudio is
so
high-powered.
Uh-huh.
He is. He
Absolutely.
Is high-powered.
And that was, for your first poem, I would have to say that's a winner.
Thank you.
Yes.
Well, Michael thought so, and that's what encouraged me.
Uh-huh.
And then what drove me on was that it was the perfect way of being even more concise in my language.
Right.
So I've gone from short story to an even shorter short story, and the trick was to be short but to be very powerful.
Well, that to me is what poetry is.
Yeah.
It's the essence that you sort of distilled from experience or meaning, and it's gotten down to the very essence.
Absolutely.
Of a thought or an idea.
So you're pouring the pure wine, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And that's my love, and that's what's kept it alive. And it's been a great way to really put down a solid story when I was writing on the run or traveling. And instead of writing chapters, I could just make it concise, maybe a 10-page
right.
poem, something like in the vein
it's
of
like
the
Drambuie
Raven.
To Scotch.
I could use one of those
Drambuie.
Right now.
Yes.
He's high-powered.
Uh-huh.
He really is. Mm-hmm. How about some more music?
That sounds good to me. I could use a breath.
Well, I think you'll enjoy this. I'm not going to tell anyone what it is, but you'll
going to surprise us.
I'm going to sneak it in there.
Thank you.
We're WCOM, and we're grateful for your support of community radio. Continue to stay with us. You'll see that our programming is something special. This is 103.5 Community Radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro, WCOM.
Nothing like having an old pro at the helm. Rocco, thanks. Feel like we brought the conductor in.
Absolutely. This is terrific.
And that, of course, was Mantovani's orchestra.
It was. And, you know, a lot of people, they don't even remember Mantovani.
Yeah.
And he was just outstanding, mm-hmm. a terrific musician, had a fine symphonic orchestra, a smaller orchestra. It was just a great, great musical.
It's actually one of those names that you remember, but you don't necessarily remember the legacy. Mantovani, I think anybody would remember or has at least heard of.
Right.
But when it comes to actually having heard, mm-hmm. it's another story.
He has a selection on this CD that I brought that has a movie theme that is this theme of the Great West, the Big Sound.
Mm.
And, have you ever heard The Big Country?
Yes.
And they do a terrific job with it.
That happens to be one of my favorite genres, the Western. So
I'll have to bring more Western music in. And
some Kris Kristofferson. Bring in some
Willie Nelson. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Speaking of that, Mike Cross is going to be coming. My buddy Mike Cross is going to be coming to the Carolina Theater of Durham on Saturday, May 5th at 8 o'clock. So keep that in mind for the historic Carolina Theater that underwrites Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. So I got that plug in.
Well, you're talking about a plug. Can I give a little plug for Carolina Book Meeting?
Absolutely. I would expect
okay,
you to.
Okay, good. Coming up Monday, since it's the day before St. Valentine's
yes.
Day, we have a writer of romance novels coming in.
Ah.
Her name is Catherine Ash. She's been in before, talking about a book called In the Arms of a Marquess. This one is her new one coming out, When a Scot Loves a Lady. And she really, you know, don't have a big history in reading romance novels, but this is really well done, historically based in the British Isles and the Romantic era, and very well written storytelling. So anyway, in honor of St. Valentine's Day, Catherine Ash is coming in Carolina Book Beat next Monday at 10 o'clock.
She's coming to get us in a romantic mood.
Claudio, yes. I'd like to say something about Audrey, and that is that she is the hardest working person here at this station.
No doubt. I'm glad she's taking a little break. That's
I've got a lot of company. I've got a lot of company in that hardworking base.
She is here probably 3 or 4 days a week and does so many different things that keeps this place going that she deserves much more credit. She's one of my favorite people here at the station.
Well, all the credit I need.
And then people like me come up and ask her to be co-host for a week or two, and it's 2 years, right? Sorry, kid.
I know where the fun is.
Yeah, good.
Well, she just does so much around here. Well,
community radio is important. I mean, when I keep saying freedom of expression is the basis of a free society, and
absolutely.
I mean it. I mean, that's why I got involved with community radio. You need to, people just plain old walking around people in the street need a voice.
It's not just about the talk, it's about what's being said.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Also, this station especially, it is a station that needs support and help from everyone. And no one person can make a radio station great or good or outstanding.
I agree.
It's a team. It really is.
It is.
And good radio stations have people on them that support each other.
Absolutely.
And that is so important.
We have over 70 volunteers on the air and all working together the very best we can because we've all got the same same heart for community and for community radio and for what we can bring. I mean, I am floored continually with the amount of knowledge that our volunteers bring to the airwaves and to what some of their histories are. I mean, we have people on the air doing shows who are research scientists in their wage-paying life, you know. And
we got some pretty smart cookies on the air here as well.
Yes.
We have a lot of innovative, intelligent folks around here.
And we got a couple of minutes left to bring it to a wrap, so the next guy can get in.
How about if I read this fundraiser?
Sounds good to me.
Do what you can to help support WCOM Radio. In Carrboro, you can make a cash donation to WCOM in one of our marked containers now located at Cliff's Meat Market, Southern Rail Restaurant, Sid's Military Surplus Store, Anna's Alterations and Tailoring, located in Carmel Mall, and here at our studio at 208 East Main Street. Remember, WCOM is your voice in our community.
I want to thank you folks for tuning in. This is pretty much the flavor you can expect, at least until we get it right, and then we'll see if we can coast with it. Audrey, I really want to thank you for having been my co-host for so long and staying on in whatever capacity you're free to stay on.
This is too much fun.
And Rocco, as far as I'm concerned, you're the conductor I just brought in, and you conducted meticulously well.
Always a pleasure to be on with you, Claudio and Audrey.
Thank you, folks, for tuning us in. You keep us tuned in, and we'll keep you turned on. That's a promise from the Speakeasy. Until next time, cheers.